Editor of Chicago District Golf Magazine, Barry Cronin.
Good morning and welcome on in. This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Aki alongside Barry Cronin. And what a week of golf we've had, Barry, between the U.S. Women's Open going on right now. We've got the Memorial as well at Jack's Course. We had the match earlier this week. And we've got a whole beautiful weekend of golf as right. well here in Chicagoland.
And we had the NCAA Men's Championship. So it was a full week of golf, and it's fantastic. It's the season.
We've got a full show for you as well. You had a great interview with Patrick Flavin. We'll hear that at 7:35, and then we'll also talk to Bob Herrig coming up at 8 o'clock, and then at 8:35, Nick Hardy is going to join us after his spectacular round at the Glen Club last week.
Yeah, and for those who might not know, Patrick Flavin is a graduate of Highland Park High School. He's from the northern suburbs, and he played in the Corn Ferry Tour event, the NV5 Invitational, last week at the Glen Club, where Nick Hardy finished second in a kind of a heartbreaking three-hole playoff sudden death. So he lost on the third hole of sudden death, but he played great and shot 22 under par for the tournament. And I'd be really eager to talk to him. I know he's going to try to qualify for the U.S. Open tomorrow out in Ohio, so it should be fun.
Yeah, it's one of those really intense sort of weeks of golf now for some of these people trying to qualify for the U.S. Open out at the Country Club in Brookline. But looking at sort of what we're dealing with right now with the LIV, I mean, you heard it on the national show before us. I mean, when the national people are talking about it, it's big news, Barry.
Yeah, it's big news, and it's really quite tiresome. But they did snag Dustin Johnson, number 13 in the world, former Masters champion. Reportedly got $100 to $125 million to play and a contract to go for $4 million a year plus whatever he earns on the course.
So where he will be the best in the field.
Well, yeah, I mean he should. He should win $3 million. It's a $20 million purse every time they play, and the purse, there's a no cut deal. It's a no cut tournament. And there's only 48 players in it, and if you finish last, you make $125,000. So, DJ ought to clean up. He's already cleaned up. And but, I mean, it's unfortunate. It's amazing that a guy who was 5-0 at the Ryder Cup and really was a hero at Whistling Straits for the American team is now, you know, he's going to be gone. And it'll be interesting to see what the PGA Tour does. I expect Jay Monahan to suspend him and kick him off the tour, which I think he has to do in order to live up to his threats. And once he does that with him and some of the other players who've gone, and that'll be will be in court. So then the lawyers will make a lot of money, and at some point there'll be some sort of a resolution to this, and hopefully it will be somewhat fair and. We'll see. Some of the other players, though, that jumped on that tour, Ian Poulter, Lee Westwood, Graham McDowell. It's almost like Sergio Garcia, who was so happy to leave. It's almost like I look back and I go, this is like the European tour from 20 years ago.
Right.
That's really what it is. I mean, you look at those guys who came over. They offered Darren Clark, who was a former British Open champion and one of those young European players back in the 90s coming over here. They offered him a deal to be the a commentator, and he had to turn it down because he didn't want to forego his right to play on the Champions Tour. So, you know, it's free money. Nope, there's no cut. They play. They play shotgun start every day. How about that? And it's a 54-hole tournament, and it's for $20 million. So we'll see, and we'll see what kind of a competitive edge it is.
So the guy who made the most news this week, Kevin Na, he resigns from the PGA Tour,
right?
to join LIV Golf.
Right.
And listen, like the Dustin Johnson side of this, I get it, right? It's news there just because he's a big name. He's joining the tour. But I've never watched any sport because of how much money somebody's made. And that's really what this is. It's DJ and the has-beens out there on this LIV tour. I don't know what kind of eyeballs they're going to get right. from this. And plus, you got to factor in eventually when it does start airing, the time changes for some of these events, too. I don't know what this popularity is going to look like for the LIV.
Well, and the other thing is, how are you going to watch it? It's on YouTube, right? And as you say, quite, you know, rightly, the first tournament's going to be in London the week before the U.S. Open. So as you say, you know, one of the reasons people don't watch the British Open in the U.S. is that by the time you wake up on Sunday morning, it's over.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? But you go out, get a cup of coffee, have brunch, go to church, whatever you do early Sunday morning, you get back. It's 11 o'clock in the morning and, oh, the British Open was on? Oh, Tiger won? John Daly won? You know, what's going on? So that's for sure what's going to happen. The other thing that will be interesting is that will the USGA allow Dustin Johnson and some of these other guys who are qualified to play in the U.S. Open, what will the USGA do?
Right.
And it's going to be interesting because we're going to have somebody from the USGA on the Sunday before the U.S. Open starts here, and we'll be able to talk to Jim Boedeker about that.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. That's coming up in a week. 312-332-3776. How do you feel? Are you going to watch the LIV Tour, or are you kind of like Barry and myself, where, yeah, it's Dustin Johnson, but the rest of the field isn't that intriguing to you, and they're really just playing for money at that point? And do you have the interest in watching that? 312-332-3776. I just look at, as long as the tour has Tiger, as long as they have guys like Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, some of these younger guys too that are still making their rise, I don't know if I can get to the point where I would want to watch something else.
No, but the thing about it is you know, I think Greg Norman, who's now commissioner of this tour, his theory is that once we get this thing started and they see the guaranteed money, and you know, Dustin Johnson won't be the only guy that they give $100 million
right.
to.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think Jordan Spieth's being offered? What do you think Colin Morikawa's being offered, or some of these other guys who are young and up and coming major champions? I mean, what a get a guy like Jordan Spieth would be. I'm not saying that he's going, but if you right. think about it, I mean, he's a guy that you would really want because he would be a young guy. And he might be able to bring other young guys with him. I mean, Lord, what if they were able to give $200 million to Justin Thomas? I mean, they've got all the money. The Saudis
right.
have all the money. Gas is $6 a gallon, okay, in Chicago. More, maybe. So that they're selling a lot of oil, and that's the foundation of the Saudi Wealth Fund. So they have a lot of money, and their money is not contingent on TV ratings, corporate sponsors, you know, local purses that the PGA Tour business model. It's a totally different business model. The tour has to create its own wealth in order to provide purses. The Saudi Wealth Fund, they got oil money.
It's bottomless.
Yeah, it's bottomless.
It feels like every week you see there's a new $1 billion grant added to it.
Yeah, 100%. Well, Saudi Arabia, basically, they, for the last X number of years, since the 70s, when they got smart and started raising their oil prices and OPEC was formed, they basically been supporting their entire population with the oil money. So they're trying to change that now. So, and now they are trying to change their image in the world, having had a little serious, as Greg Norman said, everybody makes mistakes. Yeah, when you take a guy who was a columnist for the Washington Post and kill him and chop up his body in a million pieces, that's a problem. And you have a mass execution of 81 people. Basically, you know, it's medieval, right? It's crazy. And it isn't like it's the U.S. justice system over there. You know, it's like, oh, okay, you're guilty, so you're going to go out and get executed. So what they're trying to do is paper over that. Does anybody care? People I've talked to in Chicago, there's going to be supposed to be an event at Rich Harvest Farms. People are buying tickets. Corporate sponsors are buying corporate packages. And does the sports washing question come up? I'm told that it really does not. So it's interesting.
Are you surprised DJ left?
Well, DJ had been rumored to be considering this, right? And then the Mickelson thing came. Oh, and Mickelson came out and said, hey, they're a bunch of, I can't remember his exact quotes, but he was denouncing the Saudis and he was denouncing the tour. And then DJ, like all the other guys who were considering it, backed off. Now things have calmed down, and then he came up and announced it. So, in a way, I'm not surprised. I mean, it's just a little bit disheartening. I mean, but it's so much money.
It's a ton. And here's one of the interesting wrinkles that we could see down the line too. It's what's going to happen with Brooks Koepka, because
Chase Koepka's in it.
Exactly.
His brother's in it.
And if his brother, who's not nearly the player that he is right now, starts making the same amount of money as a guy like Brooks Koepka, is that going to sway a guy like Brooks? Because, like, DJ's getting his 100 whatever million dollars that he's getting just to show up.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to give Brooks? It's probably going to be something very similar, if not maybe even more.
100%. It's 100%. And right now, most of the guys that they have are in the twilight zone between being really productive on the PGA Tour and competitive on the PGA Tour and the Champions Tour, which starts at age 50. You got a lot of guys that are in their 40s who know that they can't compete with Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, Jordan Spieth, Brooks Koepka, the other guys who are
right,
who are really competitive and winning all the majors. I mean, you look at the top of the leaderboard this week.
It's a pretty competitive group, yeah.
Yeah, right. I mean, Billy Horschel's 35, but Cameron's...
It's not the cream of the crop in terms of names, but it's known commodities.
Yeah, right. The guys on the European guys, look at Graham McDowell. You know, Graham McDowell can't hit it very far, but he's a former U.S. Open champion, and he admitted, look, he gets frustrated. He's got an opportunity because he can't make cuts. He's beaten himself to death on the PGA Tour. He's not competitive, really. And he looks at this and says, wow, guaranteed money, eight events this year. Maybe if there's 12 next year, however many they wind up having. But that's a lot of money, and he's not going to miss the cut. It's 54 holes. It's a shotgun start. I mean, you know, you're done in 4.5 hours.
Right.
So
yeah. It's a good life. And you make a lot of money off of it.
But, you know, the reality is, how do you judge the quality of that play? You know, I think one of the first things I thought was, why would Dustin Johnson ever practice again?
Right.
Why would any of these guys ever practice? Because if you just look at the Champions Tour, right, which is a no-cut tour, if you look at it, you go, well, my feeling was I don't think these guys are practicing that much anymore.
Right.
You know? And I mean, maybe it's that their skills are waning, true, but they know they're done. And some of the, like Bernard Langer, he probably practices. And he's the guy that wins all the time. But it doesn't seem to me that as a whole, they practice all that much anymore. They're just out kind of, hey, it's awesome. Champions Tour is great. Why would this not be the same? Why would the LIV Golf Tour not be, what incentive do they have to practice?
Right.
They can't
it's
miss a
guaranteed
cut.
Money right there. It's
exactly.
It's like everybody, like sometimes you see it in other sports where guys sign that big deal and then you see production drop off.
100%.
And it's like, where's that motivation coming from?
Right.
And this is the same thing. It's that guaranteed money up front. Now,
it's varying guy to guy in terms of how much they're making. Like, not everyone is like Dustin Johnson.
No.
Who's going to get $125 million or however much he's going to end up getting from LIV. But it's still going to be a significant number.
Right.
For a lot of these guys. Right. And you're right. That motivation factor is probably going to wane a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's just so... we'll talk to Bob Herrig about it in the 8 o'clock hour. Bob's been doing a phenomenal job covering it for SI.com. And, I mean, he's got... I talked to him the other day. He's like, he's got so much going on with all this stuff. It's
golf is hitting people from all angles these days.
Yeah, yeah. It's something new every day. And I think, unfortunately, it really... It takes the focus off of... you know, it's like talking about baseball, and all you talk about is contracts, and are they going to go on strike or whatever, and you know, or football or basketball, same type of thing. You're focused not on the sport. I mean, look, the U.S. Women's Open's going on this week, right? It's a great tournament. They're playing great golf. It's in a fabulous golf course, beautiful setting, and we're sitting here talking about the Saudi wealth fund and all this stuff, and you know, it's just kind of, it's kind of not, I don't know, it's kind of depressing, really.
Right. All right. Well, we will hit on that U.S. Women's Open when we come back. Also, are you going to watch LIV Golf when it does get up and running? 312-332-3776. The CDGA Golf Show will be right back.
This is the CDGA Golf Show
on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Barry Cronin and Tyler Aki.
This segment sponsored by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today. It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Aki and Barry Cronin. Let's dive into the U.S. Women's Open here, Barry, where Minji Lee has the 3-shot lead down at Pine Needles. By the way, have you been to Pine Needles before?
I've been to Pine Needles and I've played Pine Needles. And boy, I think everybody would love to play Pine Needles. It's
yes.
such a great, mm-hmm. pleasant course, and it's wide open. It's a resort course because it's, you know, there's a hotel right nearby, and that's what it is. So it's a terrific golf course, beautiful, and it looks great on TV. They've got it perfect. I think they've had some renovations. It's an old Donald Ross course. They had Kyle Franz, who's kind of a Donald Ross a restoration specialist in the golf course architecture world, came in and renovated it, and it looks great on television, and Pinehurst is a perfect place. The USGA
right.
now has moved part of its headquarters, now is split between Far Hills, New Jersey, and the Pinehurst area. They've committed to have some a lot of tournaments down there, major championships, men's and women's. So it's terrific, and they've had some wonderful champions in the past. So, yeah, Minji Lee, she's a great player, man, and she's got a 3-stroke lead going into the final round against Mina Harrigay, who has been on the LPGA Tour for a long time and never has won. But that doesn't. It's so funny because in the U.S. Women's Open, for the last three winners of the U.S. Women's Open have been first time LPGA champions, which is kind of bizarre. Because you'd think, you know, in the men's open, you know, you don't have that, right? You
right.
have Tiger winning or
guys who know how to win,
right? Right, and you don't have that in the in this particular tournament for now. But I mean, Minji Lee, she's not a first time winner. She's won a number of times on the LPGA Tour, and she's really terrific. So.
Yeah, she's got 10 career professional wins, including one major,
right.
the Evian Championship back in 2021. But she's been on the tour for quite some time. She turned pro back in 2014 when she was just 18 years old, and she has been really, really good ever since. And now she's got a 3-stroke lead, and the question is, can anybody catch her now?
Yeah, well, as we saw when Justin Thomas was, he was behind by 7 with 10 holes to play.
I mean, he wishes he was only down 3 strokes
you know,
heading into
listen,
Sunday.
If Minji Lee makes enough bogeys, she'll bring people back into it. But Lydia Ko is 7 strokes off the lead at 6 under par. Jin Young Ko, who's the number one LPGA player, is same score, 6 under. And then you've got this Ingrid Lindblad. She's an amateur. She's 6 under par.
Yeah.
Lady from Sweden. So she's doing great. And Anna Nordqvist, who, if you follow the tour, you know she's terrific. The one other person I wanted to mention was Nelly Korda. This is her first tournament back. She's really, to me, if the LPGA has a superstar, it's her. She's 4 under par. This is her first tournament back. She was out for a couple of months. She had a bizarre blood clot in her arm or shoulder, and she had to have surgery a couple of months ago. So she's back, and you hope that she does well on Sunday. She's probably not going to win. But the other thing to mention is that this is Michelle Wee's
final event,
quote unquote final. She's not going to play the LPGA tour anymore. She's a mom, and she's got some business interests going, and so she missed the cut this week. Sorry to see her go. She won her one major championship, the U.S. Women's Open at Pinehurst, and right down the road from Pine Needles. So. Now, it's kind of a Michelle Wee West, and she's married, et cetera. And so kind of so long to her, although she did say she would play the U.S. Women's Open at Pebble Beach near her home in California next year. So, but it's good to see the women out and getting some attention, but it's hard for them to compete with the PGA Tour, you know.
Yeah, it's the largest purse, though, that they have had.
It's a good point.
And a lot of that credit is due to players like Michelle Wee West and also Annika Sorenstam. I don't know. Did you see this at the Cradle earlier this week? Her son had the hole in one. For those not familiar with the Cradle, it's a little 9-hole kind of good time golf.
Par three course.
But it's a lot of fun. I don't know if you've ever played it before, but it is a great time. I went there last summer. I think we played it twice, I want to say.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun. And you see a lot of people get some of these hole-in-ones, and Annika Sorenstam's son was one of the ones that got one earlier this week, so that was cool to see.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, and so many of those little courses now, those little 9-hole courses are becoming more and more popular, and it seems like every resort course is putting in something like that. So, yeah, it's great to see Annika there, of course. Women's Open is a cool event, and I always think that we hackers of the world should be.
You're talking about you and I here, right?
Well, I'm talking about, there's a lot of people who are.
There's more than just us, but there's a lot of people in our club here.
Even the people that are good are hackers. And we'll talk about that a little later when we talk about the match. But you look at the women play golf, and man, oh man, they swing the club so easy. They hit it on the face of the club every time. They're playing the U.S. Women's Open is playing 6,600 yards. That's what it says on the scorecard. Mm-hmm. So, in truth, it's not 6,600, probably 6,400, because they're moving the tees around depending on what's going on a given day. But that's where most guys are playing. Even if you're playing the blue tees from a Muni course, that's 6,600 yards. You're not playing 7,600. So we're playing women's golf, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're playing, and yet we watch the men because the power game is so great and they're so good. But the women's game, you can learn from that because you watch them swing. They're not, trying to kill the ball and coming over the top all the time. Their swings are like metronomes, man. And that Nelly Korda, you could sit there and just turn her swing on. You know, sometimes you'll see her on Instagram, mm-hmm. and they'll show her swing, and you go, oh, man, I could just sit here and watch this and try to get that rhythm and inculcate it into your brain so when you go out there and play golf, you could actually hit it. In some rhythm.
Right. So where does women's golf go from here now that one of the icons of the sport is on the way out in Michelle Wee West?
Yeah. Like,
who is next in your eyes for the LPGA?
Well, I mean, they need a star, obviously. Like I just said, I think Nelly Korda would be great. They need an American star to help their game. You know, the LPGA is extremely popular in Korea, and they get a lot of revenue from Korea. It's really a world game, and that's great. And people say, oh, man, we have all the Korean girls that are dominating the tour, and therefore Americans are not interested in watching it. And to some extent, that's true. I think we thought that Michelle Wee was going to be the American star, and she never really quite became – I mean, Nike gave her so much money when mm-hmm. she was, you know, 15 years old, when, you know, when she turned pro.
Yeah.
And she never really turned out to be that. The LPGA needs a dominant American player to help draw eyeballs to the tour. And I think Nelly Korda could be that person. She's a terrific player, very competitive, great spirit, and it just needs to be an American star. You know, the American girls are not practicing, it doesn't seem, as much as the Korean girls. They're just not as competitive. And I saw Brandel Chamblee was talking about the other day on the Golf Channel about how the Korean Golf Association, how they teach, how they instruct, and how they bring the good young Korean girl athletes through their system. And they produce a lot of great young players. And I think the USGA is going to start doing that. You know, you mentioned the $10 million purse for this event. That's because Mike Wan, WHAN, of Naperville, Illinois, who is now the USGA president, commissioner. He was commissioner of the LPGA Tour for years, and so he understands the quality and value of the women's game. There are so many young women playing golf now. I mean, mm-hmm. in the Illinois Junior Golf Association, there's more girls playing now as youngsters than there ever have been. You know, it used to be back in the day, if you were a girl, teenage girl, and you wanted to play golf, and you were any good, you had to play on the boys' team because there was no girls' team. But that's mm-hmm. not the case anymore. So women's golf is got a little momentum, and we just need a star or two in the United States to really keep it going.
Can I interest you in Alexi Thompson?
Lexi Thompson's phenomenal. I mean, they were showing video of her playing in the U.S. Women's Open when she was 12.
14 career wins for her, including one LPGA major.
One major, and you know, and last year she was ahead. She had the lead in the U.S. Women's Open, and she just kind of gave it up. And the problem, you know, and everybody who follows this knows that her problem is putting, and it's in her head, and that's a problem because she would be the. I don't know. I guess mentally, you know, maybe she's just not ready, and she just can't embrace. Being this kind of star that the game needs, because she would be perfect.
So right now, Lexi is 2 under and sitting tied for 17th, but not going to win this.
Yeah.
But could she work her way into a top 5, maybe even a top 3?
Yeah.
I mean, with a really strong performance.
Maybe
today.
She could. I mean, look what Rory. You know, you got to get those backdoor top
right,
tens.
Exactly.
You know, this is a Tiger word. Backdoor top tens. In other words, what McIlroy did at the Masters, and you know he finished, I don't know where he finished, top 5 or whatever, and he played great on Sunday. But you play great when it doesn't matter, and
when the pressure's off, and that's sometimes when you see some of these great players have some of their best rounds.
Right, when the pressure's off, but that doesn't really define you as a champion in the great scheme of
right.
things. I mean, you know, it's great to play great, you know, but. Not when it doesn't matter so much.
Right. All right, when we come back, we'll talk with Patrick Flavin. You had a great interview with him earlier in the week, so we will talk with him. And then also, we got to get to some stuff from the match as well from this week between Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. We keep doing the match, but do we need to keep doing the match? We'll discuss all of that and more when we return on the CDGA Golf Show. This segment sponsored by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our 3 Chicagoland locations today.
This is the CDGA Golf Show
on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Tyler Rocky and Barry Cronin, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. This is the CDGA Golf Show. Tyler Aki alongside Barry thrown in. And if you missed anything from today's show, be sure to check out the CDGA Golf Show podcast on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcast. I want to talk to Bob Harrod coming up at 8 o'clock, get his input on all things with the LIV Tour and everything else going on at the Memorial as well. And then Nick Hardy's going to join us at 8:35 from the Corn Ferry Tour. He's one of the local kids from Glenbrook North High School. So we've got a little...
And the University of Illinois.
A little Titan and Spartan rivalry between him and I. So we can hash that out a little bit later on as well. You had a chance earlier this week to talk with Patrick Flavin, Barry.
Right. Patrick received a sponsor exemption to the Corn Ferry Tour event, the NV5 Invitational at the Glen Club. Made the cut and played pretty well last week. Didn't quite make it into the top 25, which would have gotten him into the Raleigh Corn Ferry event this week. But nevertheless, a good week. And so, yeah, I did catch up with him after the tournament last Sunday.
Yeah, it's been really crazy. Definitely not the way I thought my year would be going. But, yeah, had some success in the Monday qualifiers and done well in those PGA Tour events. So, yeah, now I'm chasing those FedEx Cup points to get myself into those Corn Ferry finals to play for my full card for next year. So, yeah, that's kind of what this season holds is more Monday qualifiers and then the John Deere Classic. So that's going to be a dream come true week and hopefully getting to some more events as well.
And you played at the Glen Club this past weekend and made the cut, which was good. And if you'd have finished in the top 25, you go on to the next week. Listeners have no idea how hard this all is. Then what happened?
Yeah, I played mostly well. I didn't quite make as many putts as I had hoped. But I'm kind of right on that cusp. I don't think I'll make it in the next week's event, which is a little frustrating. But overall, from development standpoint, my game is in a good place. And mentally, I'm in a really good place. I'm really appreciating what I'm doing, and I'm enjoying it. And despite a couple kind of not making as many putts, I was in a good frame of mind, and that's the biggest thing I'm going to draw on moving forward.
I think the reason you got the exemption into the John Deere Classic was all those Monday qualifiers. You've Monday qualified three times, which for people who don't know is a huge accomplishment. And then you miss Monday qualifying by like one shot in playoffs on two other events. And as we know, Patrick Reed was like Mr. Monday when he came out, when he qualified for six. So you're kind of you're right on the cusp of what Patrick Reed did. So you got to be proud of yourself for that.
Yeah, for sure. I think it takes a really gritty, tenacious attitude in those Monday qualifiers. It's obviously not the glamour of the normal events. You just got to put your head down and play hard. And I've done a really good job of that. And I've always done well when I'm a little nervous or under the gun. So that's the most extreme nerves, I'd say. So I've put myself in contention for those a lot, and I'm going to just kind of keep that same attitude.
And you love the Glen Club because you won the Illinois Amateur here?
Open.
Okay, yeah. And that was a few years ago, but how do you like the Glen Club? Just give us overall...
I love the Glen Club. It's just so nice to be home. I've had a lot of success here in the Illinois Open, and then last year in this tournament, the Corn Ferry event, finishing fifth. And I'm not sure what it is, but it just kind of suits my eye. But I think mostly it's just having so much hometown support. When you're out there playing in front of friends and family, it's just so much fun. They cheer you on no matter how it's going, and it kind of keeps you going. So I'm looking forward to more of that at the John Deere.
And when you are not around Chicago, where do you live? And tell us a little bit about your domestic situation.
Yes, I'm out in Scottsdale, so avoiding the Chicago winters.
Oh, boy.
That's a good thing. Yeah, it's a great thing, and I love it out there. And I've created a really good network of friends out there and started to get myself more ingrained in that community. Got a great group of buddies, including like Nick Hardy and a few others that I practice and play with out there. We've got basically a Chicago West going on in the winter. And, I love it out there. So it's a great place.
That's terrific. And so now we're talking on Sunday. So you will be going. Will you be going to North Carolina to try to Monday qualify for that or no?
Nope. I'm not sure where I'm going, but not North Carolina. I'm either going to play the Canadian Tour event up in Victoria or the Latin event down in Colombia or taking a week off. So the next thing on my agenda for sure is the RBC Canadian Open Monday, which is in just over a week.
Right, so you go to Ontario.
It's in Toronto.
Oh, it's in Toronto. Yep. Okay.
It's in Toronto.
Which is in Ontario.
Right.
Okay, yeah,
my
I
bad.
Get my, yeah. No. I get my Canadian states and cities mixed up.
Yeah, so I'm going up there for sure. And a big part of this this Monday qualifier journey is not knowing where you're going to be. There's so many like different cutoffs, like the top 25 this week, that you could accomplish or could not accomplish. So it's been pretty hard to book flights and stick with those plans. But we'll see. I just got to keep enjoying the journey, and I'm very grateful to be doing what I love. So I also very much appreciated being at home for a week. So it was really nice.
Did you sleep in your childhood bedroom?
I did. Still got my baseball trophies in there, and yeah. So yeah, it's just really, really nice to be home. I think my parents very much appreciate having one of their three boys home as well.
I think so too. I've seen them out here walking around. They seem to be very proud of you, as they should be. Well, great. And then you get to practice at the Merritt Club. You've had this is a very cool thing for a private club in Chicago to extend playing opportunities, practicing opportunities to top players. And we'd love to see more of that around here. Don Pieper, and I know the Getz family is very supportive of you up at the Merritt Club.
Exactly. Yeah, they've been so good to us. They treated me and a bunch of other guys as basically full members since we were sophomores in high school, and I definitely wouldn't be the golfer I am today without the Merritt Club. To be able to practice and play out there and really fall in love with the game changed my life. And like you said, the Getz family and Mr. Pieper, they just are so generous, and they have such great vision for what's important. I think getting juniors into the game of golf is incredibly important. So yeah, they've continued that program, and I know there's a few of us, Nick, obviously on the PGA Tour, I'm trying to get there, and there's a few other guys that are on the brink of making it. So it's really cool to see, and it's like a family to us.
Well, Patrick, thanks for your time. We were very happy that you came and talked to us after, you know, kind of a disappointing situation here. But good luck to you in the future, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
See you in a couple weeks.
Thank you so much.
That's Patrick Flavin. Always good to see the local kids having success around here in the Chicagoland.
It's fantastic, and Patrick is such a wonderful young man. Whether he makes it on the PGA Tour or no matter what he does, he's going to be a success in life, and very articulate and a really, really fine young guy.
All right, when we come back, we got to get into the match that took place on Wednesday. Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen going up against Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. What are your feelings on the match? We will discuss that coming up in a little bit. This segment sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now.
This is the CDGA Golf Show
on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, Tyler Aki and Barry Kern. This segment brought to you by Tullymore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. Let's get into the match, Barry, because what's your temperature on watching football players play golf? And it gets televised on TNT. There's the whole entertainment aspect around it with Charles Barkley, Ernie Johnson. It feels like an episode of Inside the NBA. But do we still need to keep doing these? Are you sure we still need to keep doing these?
Well, I don't know if we need it, but I have to tell you, I was a little bit skeptical about it, and I didn't really think about it, and hadn't really heard much about it. I didn't think they did a great job of promoting it, you know. And I read all the golf stuff all the time, and I'm watching Golf Channel a lot, you know. But they didn't really. I don't think they promoted it as well as they should have. And maybe it's just me not being as plugged in as I should be, but I think they didn't promote it. That's number one. And number two is I wasn't as enthusiastic about it because I think it would be a display of bad golf.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, I was watching the NCAA finals between Texas and Arizona State, and which Texas won 3-2. They have two former Western Amateur champions on that team, Pearson Cootie and Cole Hammer. But and then I thought, well, then I switched over to it, and then I thought, well, you have a responsibility to know about this because somebody's going to ask, Tyler's going to ask you about this on the radio. So I said, all right, well, I'll hit the record button. And of course, you know, by the time I got around to watching it the other day, I knew the outcome, but I watched it anyway, and I thought, wow, this is not as horrific as I thought it was going to be. Were a couple of the guys hitting the ball sideways, way out of bounds? Yeah, but they're all mic'd up, and Charles Barkley's talking to them. Ernie's talking to them. There's banter back and forth. The guys seem to all like each other. They're having fun, and the golf is good enough. You know, Aaron Rodgers made a birdie on the first hole. I mean, that was impressive. He went, you know, driver in the fairway, a second shot on the green, and he made about a 10-footer for birdie, and that was pretty impressive. So he and Brady took a 2-up lead after two holes, but then Mahomes and Josh Allen came back. Patrick Mahomes was terrific. I mean, he's draining putts, and you go, really?
He's a really good putter. One of the big takeaways from this.
He's a terrific putter. He's a really good player. So I think the thing was that clearly these guys are tremendous athletes. They have great timing, which is what golf's all about. The other thing is they take lessons. They have a lot of time in the off season, and they love golf. They are private club members. They take lessons. They love to play. And that's important. That's how you get better. You have to learn how to play golf. You have to learn how to hit these short game shots. You have to learn how to get out of a bunker. I see so many people like, well, they won't take a lesson. You know, they'd rather read Golf Digest and see if they can get a free lesson by the thing that's in the middle of the magazine. Anyway, so in the end, I watched pretty much the whole thing, and I thought, you know, this is pretty good. And I thought to myself, why do I like this? And I think the reason that I liked it was the banter between the four guys.
Mm-hmm.
Brady was giving a hard time to Josh Allen, you know, a little bit.
Right.
And, you know, Brady was throwing shade on people, and Rodgers was playing well, and Mahomes was keeping his guys in it. Josh hit a couple a little bit too far sideways, when Brady hit a couple of bad drives early on, Rodgers was able to pick him up. And Mahomes wasn't quite able to pick up Allen as much. But honestly, going into the final hole, which was a 12-hole match,
right.
Going into the 12th hole, they were all square. They were tied.
So
Rodgers and Brady, I think Allen or whatever, they hit it sideways or whatever. They just hit crummy shots.
Do you think there's a dimension of maybe some pro wrestling here? Where there is some staged elements of it in terms of, because it feels like with these matches, we haven't seen a group ever pull away, right? I'm trying to jog my memory through, but like, everything comes down to that last hole or the playoff or something of that sort.
Well, it's a good conspiracy theory. However, I think you're wrong because I don't think these guys are good enough. To do it, you know what I mean?
I think Brady and Rodgers are, just because they've been around golf longer than Allen and Mahomes. Like, those guys have probably been golfing for as many years as Allen and Mahomes have been alive. Those are young guys right there.
Yeah, true. But if you looked at some of the drives Brady hit early Brady hit the ball sideways a lot. He started out pulling it left off the tee. And then he wound up kind of spraying it right off the tee. So I don't think these guys are good enough golfers to really rig it. I mean, I just don't think they are. The other thing was, so you watch that and you go, well, this is very entertaining. And I have to say, their golf swings were, because, you know, you watch the golf swings and you go, you know what? These guys are pretty, I mean, their timing is phenomenal.
Right.
They're timing. That's what golf's all about. Tempo, timing, athletic ability, et cetera. There was really good. But then you flip over to the U.S. Women's Open, right?
It's night and day.
And you watch these girls hitting oh my gosh. I mean, it's like watching an old jalopy versus a Lamborghini. And the women's golfers are the Lamborghinis because their swings are so pure. Same with, and you could, you know, you could flip over to the NCAA men's championships, and these young dudes that are playing for those teams, I mean, their swings are so much better than Brady and those other guys. So I don't know. I think that if you what was really good about the matches that all four guys, well, three out of the four, have real good personalities. You know, Rogers is he's the weirdo in the group. Let's face it, right? You know, he's good enough, right? He's got a good enough personality to carry, and he's a good player. So I think, you know, Mahomes is super likable. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen is likable, and they're friends. You can just tell they're friends. And Brady is off the charts, terrific. Yeah. So I think that's what. And of course, you have Barkley. Barkley is just absolutely.
I mean, you've
treasure.
Heard people say like
he's a treasure.
He's one of the few people you actually turn the TV on.
Well, and the thing about Barkley is he loves golf.
Yeah.
And you know who else was good? And Barkley and Trevor Immelman was terrific. Mm-hmm. I didn't think, because, you know, sometimes on CBS, you know, he's pretty one-dimensional,
right?
This enabled him, you know, to show his personality. And I thought, wow, Trevor's got it going a little bit. So so there was this banter between Barkley and Immelman, and Barkley and everybody. And, of course, Ernie Johnson with Charles is so good because they've worked together for 20 years. Anyway, I thought it was fun.
Yeah. All right, well, I've got some other thoughts on that we can get to. We're going to talk to Bob Herrig from SI.com when we come back. It's the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by Tullymore Golf Resort, up north Michigan Golf without the drive.
This is